The time is 2:07. Nice afternoon here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Temperature stands at 49 degrees under sunny skies. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in just a few minutes, very excited. Very excited for you to have a chance to hear a discussion with Earl Ingram. Earl Ingram is a host on the Civic Media Radio Network. He is based out of the Milwaukee area. And I had never met Earl before last month. And last month, we had an entire staff meeting, basically, of all of the on-air folks throughout the state of Wisconsin in Civic Media, meeting with a consultant to try and help us do what we do. And happened to be sitting right next to Earl, had a chance to talk to Earl, get to know Earl a little bit, and really find out about this man who has been a fixture in Milwaukee radio for a long time. And then last week, we had another get-together for our on-air folks. This time, it was not in person. It was a Zoom with some suggestions on how to talk to a certain segment of our audience. And Earl, again, came up on the Zoom talking to our consultant, giving some really interesting perspective in terms of talking to certain members of our audience. And we're going to talk about what the issues are in the Milwaukee area for his listeners, how he connects with his listeners. Also, something he had talked about last week, and one reason I wanted him on the program today, is during that event last week, he talked about how there is a fallacy that somehow the issues that affect listeners in, say, central Wisconsin are much different than those that affect the listeners in the Milwaukee area. That for many years now, we have had a situation where Republicans have tried to target Milwaukee and Madison, and I think the big urban centers in our state as saying that they're somehow not either the same or not real Wisconsinites in the same way that people outside those areas are. But the issues that folks have to deal with day to day are not that different. We're going to talk a little bit about that, talk about some of the political issues around the state of Wisconsin as well with Earl Ingram coming up at 2:15. Coming up later in the program, going to have a sports segment, talk a little bit about where we stand in high school baseball and softball. I had a very exciting game yesterday after I got done here. Went over to the Marathon, saw the Marathon Red Raider baseball team in a first-place battle in the Marrowood Conference South Division. Took on the Stratford Tigers. It was a thriller. It was an up-and-down game. Went right down to the wire. In the end, the Red Raiders won 8-7. Going to talk a little bit about that and other highlights from our area high school sports teams in a segment later on in the program. Also coming up in the second hour, yesterday, heard a few comments from Ron Johnson. He was at the Milwaukee Press Club this week and got a comment that maybe I was being unfair to Ron. Maybe I was using some unfair tactics in terms of actually using his voice and reporting on what he said. Well, I'm going to report more on what Ron Johnson said earlier this week. We got many more comments because going to let Ron Johnson speak to you. Going to let Ron tell us what he believes in. And to be honest with you, the day that, unless Ron Johnson changes his tone and his ways, the idea that someday I'm going to come on here and say, well, I was too hard on Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson is a danger to this state and to this country. And I'm going to keep talking about that each and every day that I feel there's a need to. So we're going to hear more from Ron Johnson coming up in the second hour because, again, he's a far-right conservative who other far-right conservatives in the Republican caucus in the Senate want very little to do with. They'll just put him off on his little island to talk about his conspiracy theories. You'll never see Ron Johnson be the chair of a vital committee. You'll never see Ron Johnson be part of the Republican leadership in the United States Senate. He's got his own little portion of the circus area for the Republicans, and they'll let him talk about all of his conspiracy theories over there. So we're going to hear more from Ron Johnson coming up in hour number two of the program. But really looking forward here in just a couple of moments. Coming up next, we will be talking to the host of the Earl Ingram Show, also hosting a show we hear on weekends with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. So we'll talk to Earl Ingram about all that and a whole bunch more coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXVO and on the Civic Media app. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and on the Civic Media app. And that's something, if you don't have, you need to get, because not all of the programs on the Civic Media Radio Network air on all of the stations. We have different programs at different times. And in the morning from 8 to 11, there's a couple of shows that split up the Civic Media Network. We have Todd Albaugh, who is on here on Bow Falls Radio on weekdays from 8 to 11, but also on a number of our Civic Media radio stations based out of Waukesha, a man who's been involved in Milwaukee radio for such a long time, the Earl Ingram Show, and very happy to bring on the program and talk a little bit about some of the issues that he's hearing from his listeners and also just issues generally to folks, whether or not in the Milwaukee area or here in central Wisconsin. But really happy to welcome Earl Ingram. And Earl, again, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you for extending the invitation, Chad. I am honored to have an opportunity to interact with you and your listening audience.
And one of the great things about our civic media is before last month, I had not really met anybody else from civic media as our operation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, our
really?
Operation here in Wausau, very small. So it was the first time I had not been able to get to the Christmas party last year. And it was really the first time, and I got a chance to be right next to you last month and then also see you on our Zoom last week. And one of the things that came across in talking to you last month in Madison and then even hearing you last week as well is for all the talk about differences of issues in either urban and rural areas or the southeast part of the state and the central part of the state, you mentioned, I thought, very smartly and elegantly about so many of the issues cross lines between, say, the Milwaukee area and here in central Wisconsin. It's a lot more the same in terms of problem solving for the folks in the Milwaukee area and the folks around here than maybe people would realize.
You know, Chad, first, thank you for the opportunity. I am a lifelong resident of the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. And I have lived in this state now for 68 plus years, and so when I think about what the state was, what my life has been, and the opportunities that existed, and the state as a whole, it is amazing to me how it's changed in my lifetime, in my lifespan, and especially over the last 40 or so years, from a blue state to now in a purple state, and in many instances, rural Wisconsin, which was a blue state, blue throughout my entire youth. And this, I've seen these changes, have, you know, to me, I've been wondering why, and, and the only way that it can be explained is through dialogue between you and I and the different parts of the state. The other part of it is I was the first host of the first radio station of Civic Media. So I'm really excited about the growth that we've seen inside of a year. It's unbelievable. It's unmatched anywhere in the nation.
When you talk about, you know, the transition over these, say, 3-4 decades from, as you said, a state that was known as the progressive beacon of the United States. It was the progressivism was thought of in Wisconsin basically in the same breath. And something we were discussing before we came on the air when you'd called in terms of mills. And we have lost here in the Wausau area, the Brokaw, and then in the Wisconsin Rapids area. I know they've had some issues as well. And you mentioned that. And that's something that I think really does go a long way, that the central part of the state losing in that way is a similar aspect to what has been lost in other parts of the state as well, correct?
You know, when you look at the fact that Wisconsin was always the dairy state, never will forget as a kid, Allison in Dairyland was always what was talked about. And I hadn't gotten to spend much time outside of the city and in different rural parts. But, you know, every time we would get away from the city and my family and got, you know, anywhere outside of the city, it was always farmland. It was farmland. You see cows everywhere. You'd see corn. You'd see these tremendous farms, and that was what the state of Wisconsin was known for, dairy, and so something happened along the way. I don't believe that as a matter of fact, I know the farmers didn't just decide to up and give away their way of living and their way of life. Something happened that forced that change, and that was something called corporate farms. And so people who were able to make a go of it and live a middle-class lifestyle in rural Wisconsin and rural areas across the nation lost their livelihood based on corporations that stepped in and started creating these corporate farms that unfair competition that forced that way of living and way of life out of rural America. And it's really shameful that, you know, the Republican Party has acted as if they had not played a role in that. At every turn that, you know, Democrats have attempted to try and offer support in some way, shape, or form to rural America like they have into cities, and have been stymied at every turn by Republicans. And what has always been surprising to me was that the rural population did not realize, and I would always ask, you know, what has the Republican Party done for rural America? Mm-hmm. That rural America now, unfortunately, is voting for the Republican Party, and they can't point their finger to anything that's been done positively. And I think, as you stated before, they've misled people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, everything that I've read, rural America doesn't have access to the Internet like most of us do, which is amazing to me, that we live in a nation that does everything it can to make sure that the rest of the world has those types of things. But right here in our own backyard, we can't seem to get those things worked out.
Again, we're talking to Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. And Earl, I think an issue that we need to discuss, and I think maybe flesh out a little bit, is the idea of segregation. And the segregation that you know, you see in Milwaukee, and the statistics show, again, that it is, if not the, but one of the most segregated cities in America. And I said to you as well about the segregation of thought, because when you talk again about those on the right for many years now, and I think it's, you know, definitely not an accident when you see it as consistently as we've seen it, the way that they talk about Milwaukee, that basically they try to segregate Milwaukee from the state of Wisconsin, that in some way, Milwaukee and I think to a lesser extent, Madison, just aren't true Wisconsin in their thought. How do you take that, and how do your listeners take that, I think, as well? Because something you've talked about as well, I think, when we got together last month with the consultant, is about how important listening to your listeners and based on what they tell you is where your show goes. What do your listeners hear when you hear some of the comments from Republican leadership that basically says, well, somehow Milwaukee doesn't count in a certain way?
Well, you know, just try to grasp the largest city in the entire state, the economic engine of the state of Wisconsin. It's always been that. It always will be that, and nobody will ever change it. But we've got people who've somehow done everything within their power to change that dynamic. And it does not matter how hard they try. You know, what's Milwaukee have? Maybe 600,000 people. And you can't dismiss the thoughts of 600,000 people in a state the size of Wisconsin. It's, again, once again, trying to mislead people. Many people in rural Wisconsin have never been to Milwaukee, as it was that I had never been to many other parts of the state until I got a chance to do it via radio. Mm-hmm. So we don't know one another. And there is a plot, if you will, by people on the right to disconnect the people who were once middle class in both rural and the cities because of the opportunities that were there for our parents and for our grandparents. All of those things have been taken away, and nobody from outside of our nation took those things away. These things were taken away by people inside of our nation. And so we're struggling for the same things. The people in the city of Milwaukee want good jobs. They want good schools. They want affordable housing. They want health care. In essence, what they want is the American dream that's been taken away from all of us. Mm-hmm. And the fight is for that opportunity once again, and in many instances for our children, because many of us have gotten to the age where, you know, we were able to live a good lifestyle, a decent lifestyle. It is our children and our offspring who the fight is for. And I'm sure the people who live in rural areas in Warsaw and other places, you know, want it to be the way it was before. And that's not asking too much, Chad. I think as Americans, the American dream should be obtainable to everybody who's in this nation.
And that listing of the things that folks in Milwaukee want is exactly the same list of issues that are important to people here in North Central Wisconsin. I mean, that's one of the things I think that as much as folks sometimes try to, and I will say it again, segregate thought and segregate the feeling that, you know, you're asking for something different than maybe we're asking for here. No. I mean, the basics and what can be done governmentally in terms of giving the most opportunity to those in the middle class to raise the level for their families is so similar. I mean, that's something that I think we're able to find out by being in front of a microphone and talking to people, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, Chad. You know, we still live in the wealthiest nation on earth. That's never going to change in your lifetime or my lifetime. And what's happened is corporations, through the support of elected officials, I use the verbiage politricksters. And it frustrates them sometimes, and they say, well, why would you use the verbiage politrickster? And I say, well, when you tell people one thing and you turn around and do another, when you live in a representative government like we live in, and when we have people who petition the government on our behalf, and they then don't petition the government on your and my behalf. They petition the government on behalf of lobbyists for corporations, then somebody's played a trick on us. And I think rural people, as well as people who live in the urban enclaves, need to learn that lesson. And because all of this can be changed if our elected officials that we elect bring the pressure on them to do what's in the best interest of us, the people who have elected them. That's on the state level. That's on the national level. We, the people, are the government. We have to always remember that. And then, Chad, then we can change these things. Mm-hmm. But if we don't petition our elected officials in the rural areas as well as in the cities, they're going to allow the lobbyists, unfortunately, to make decisions that have rendered us to be in the positions we are in now. And you know how I know? Because I lived long enough to remember when this wasn't the case in America. Something changed, and what changed was the elected officials who made it possible for corporations to take advantage of the American people.
Earl, I'm going to have to steal that politrickster line. I wish I was as good with a turn of a phrase as that. That's perfect, I tell you. Earl, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right, we got to take a news update break here, and then we'll come back and have more with Earl Ingram. Again, the host of the Earl Ingram Show. You can tune in on the Civic Media app weekdays from 8 to 11. You can also go back and listen on the podcast page. And, of course, you can hear him on the weekends with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, as well. So we'll come back. More with Earl Ingram coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, very happy to have with us here for another segment, Earl Ingram. Again, the host of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. Again, you can listen every weekday morning on the Civic Media app or tune back in on the show page of civicmedia.us as well. And Earl, to start this segment off, talking about big picture Wisconsin, I think that the election between Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes really was, in a sense, a microcosm of how the Republicans have seen Milwaukee and people in Milwaukee, and in this case, a candidate for Milwaukee. What did you find out during that campaign? Because it was not a pretty campaign at all. It turned out to be, a one-point win for Ron Johnson, who I think in many ways is one of the worst senators in America, but yet finds a way to win election after election in this state. 2022, I thought, was a very tough election year to stomach in that sense. What did you find out? What did the folks that you talked to on your program find out during that year, seeing how a candidate like Mandela Barnes was treated in that campaign?
You know, Chad, it is a dark chapter in the history of the state, because what they did was to vilify Mandela Barnes and the state, to lead people to believe that the crime that does exist in the city of Milwaukee and urban centers across the nation, which were spurned on because of, again, the jobs. As I said before, I've spent 34 years in the auto industry. I walked out of high school, Chad, at 18 years old, and that's the way we did it back in the 70s, early 70s. And a snotty-nosed kid could walk into a factory and spend 34 years working on that job and receive a pension like I do today, and live a middle-class lifestyle, one job. That was what the Midwest was. That's what Wisconsin was. That's what Milwaukee was. Milwaukee was the machine shop of the world. We produced everything. And once they took those jobs away, people have had to struggle. Younger people have not had the opportunities that my generation had. And I'm not making excuses for crime, because I always say to people, there's no excuse for committing the kinds of crime that occur. But when people feel like they are not going to be able to survive in this nation, and they look around them and there are people prospering, and yet the American dream has been taken away. Unfortunately, there are people who, they start doing those types of things. And again, nobody supports that, especially me. Mm-hmm. But to lead people in the state to think that that was going to move outside of Milwaukee into their areas was absolutely a lie. The crime that occurs in Milwaukee is not occurring in to the degree in Wausau and those places. And even if it is, it's not from people who live in the city who come up to Wausau and commit the crimes. So they've terrified people into believing, similar to what they've terrified people into believing, that the people at the border, if they come into this country, they're going to come here and they're going to be here to commit crimes. Nothing could be further from the truth, Chad. Those people who are at the border are trying to come to America for a better way of life. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, which is what the Statue of Liberty, one of the things that's on the Statue of Liberty, and what brought out many of our ancestors and forefathers to this country. But the Republicans have done a masterful job in scaring people. And it's not, people are afraid of things in this society, and unfortunately they're afraid of things that won't ever impact or affect their own personal lives. But you can't tell them that, because the Republican Party has done a masterful job of leading people to believe that there's going to be a race riot and all of those things. And Chad, nothing could be further from the truth.
And along those same lines, I think whether that election or even even this spring election, where you see judicial candidates talk about who's going to be keeping you safe, when that's not the point of a Supreme Court judge, number one. It feels like a lot of campaigns are about things that are not part and parcel of what a good public servant would be able to do to make the lives of the people they serve better. It's all smoke and mirrors, in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely a smoke and mirrors. But how do you not convince someone who's afraid that that's the case? And if what they're seeing is, all of these images that are negative images, and they don't know whether that's true or not, I mean, then they're trusting the people who are saying that. Ron Johnson, nobody could be worse for the average person in the state of Wisconsin, rural as well as city dwellers, than Ron Johnson. His record is atrocious.
Yes.
But yet he led, because he was losing prior to all of those negative images that they put out. And why was he losing? He was losing because people in the rural area knew that Ron Johnson hadn't done anything for them, and that they could put their hands on tangibly that would make them want to reelect him. And he was in the throes of defeat until they decided, well, we'll throw this into the mix and we'll scare people, and we'll have these images of black people committing crimes. And so they were successful in that.
Again, we're talking to Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm going to step, sort of look like I'm up in outer space, because when you talk about those commercials, the people that actually fund them are the people that now the Republicans want to give massive tax breaks to with their new flat
yes.
tax. So I mean, there is such a it's such a cynical system in this sense, you know, because the people that they're trying to talk into being scared are the people that are not going to get anything, because once you take those massive tax cuts, you're going to have to cut spending, according to the Republicans, and take away important programs that help people lift themselves in their lives. I mean, this circle can be infuriating on itself, doesn't it?
You know, Chad, you said you were going to take the politic thing. That's what that is. That's politics. So they led the people to believe that they were concerned about those things. In the end, Ron Johnson is going to get another 6 years to make sure that not the people who elected him get what they deserve and what they need. He's going to give another 6 years to helping the wealthy, in which he's won. He can't begin to even feel the pain of rural America.
No.
Ron Johnson is married a wealthy woman, and so he's got expensive homes all over. He leads people to believe that he feels their pain. He cannot feel your pain. He doesn't know anything about what it's like to struggle to keep a roof over your head, to keep the lights on, to keep food in. So how can it possibly be, Chad, that people who live in rural America are struggling with food? It had always been they were the breadbasket of the world. So how can it possibly be that rural areas are struggling to feed themselves? You know, I have a guest on who has her own her own farm. She has, I don't know, I think she said about 10 acres, and she grows organic food. But the way things are set up, she can't sell her food to people because she's up against corporate farms, and there are laws and rules and regulations that the corporate farms that are poisoning the American people, producing food that doesn't have vitamins or nutrients in them, and yet those are the things that they can sell, and our government won't do anything to prevent that, but the poor person who's trying to do the right thing and feed the American people nutritious food, you've got laws that prevent a smaller farm from even selling and being in the market. Those are the things that we need to understand. And if we can understand those things and get beyond what Republicans are saying, then we can begin to start healing things, Chad, and making a future for our future generations.
And isn't that a great example of a person and a story that needs to be heard? Because we don't hear that. It's all about the megaphone. I mean, we hear certain things we hear all the time. I saw a clip earlier today. I was getting ready for my program, and I'm going through some different things, and there's this Republican congressman talking about tackling Social Security and Medicare. We hear about those kind of issues all the time. We don't hear about tackling the issues of the family farmer or tackling the issues of the middle class in the inner city or the middle class in rural areas. It's always about taking away earned benefits. I mean, really, what do we hear about all the time? We don't hear stories like you just talked about with somebody trying to struggle to fight against corporate farmers. I mean, it's really, you know, again, that's one of the great things about having you on the air and having all these other civic media, because we don't hear these stories, do we?
No, you don't hear them. And let's be honest, Chad. The corporate farms, you're in Warsaw, you see them. Mm-hmm. We all know, I mean, you know, again, only from what I've read,
yep.
All of those major corporate farms, the way they treat the animals, the poisoning of the water and the land because of digging pits where all of the runoff from all of these animals that they treat in a manner that is inhumane. And yet, why didn't that laws to protect the people in rural America from that? So they put the major corporate farms next to the mom and pop farms that were there, forced them out. They're doing the right thing, trying to make sure that they, again, that the people in the town where they live have the best of foods. And then the corporate farms produce, again, you go in the grocery store and you see the best looking cabbage. It's perfect almost in size and shape and color because they've done a good job of producing that stuff. Mm-hmm. But they can't ever produce the vitamins and all the things that the average farmer, the small farmer, is going to produce. He's going to make sure that it may not look, you know, scenic, but it's going to be nutrient full, and it's going to make sure that the American person gets to eat the right food and live longer. And I always say this, Chad, and I always ask people if I'm incorrect. They can correct me. But we live in a society that is for-profit health care.
Yep.
And so if health care is for-profit and I'm a business, I'm going to always need some sick people, right?
You know, so, real quick, Earl, along that same line, that's exactly the same thought every time I hear about private prisons as well.
Yes, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, Chad. So we need to get people in rural America to think about the things you and I have been talking about now. Because I'm taking care of it down here. I'm constantly talking about this stuff every day on my show. And I frustrate a lot of people. I anger a lot of politicians. But, you know, I'm not beholden to politicians. I'm beholden to the people of the state of Wisconsin and their families. And that's what we all need to do. And we need to understand if we bring the pressure, if we bring the pressure to the people we elect, we can turn this around.
One final question about Mandela Barnes. I think he is somebody that we need in this state because, number one, I think as somebody from the younger generation who may see things differently than the Ron Johnsons and even some of the older folks on the left, and not to say that, you know, us are a little bit older, but I just think that it would be great to have that and also to have somebody that's from Milwaukee. I think, you know, so many ways Milwaukee is underrepresented. Well, what do you think about the future for Mandela Barnes? It looks
like I know him well. The first time he ever ran for office, he announced it on a radio show that I was on. Every time he ran for office, he announced it on my radio show. I remember him when he first got involved in politics. Politics. but he is a young man who's got a great future ahead of him. Chad, man, I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to your listening audience. I would be honored to do it anytime, and I'll reciprocate on the other end.
Hey. Absolutely. Anytime for me to talk to you, and you will definitely be hearing from me again. It's really been a lot of fun to talk to you. It was great to meet you last month, and it's really been terrific to talk to you here on the air. Earl, again, we'll hook up again real quick.
All right. Thank you very much, Chad.
That's Earl Ingram.
Again. Goodbye to your audience.
Absolutely. Earl Ingram, again, the host of the Earl Ingram Show. You can hear it on a number of civic media radio stations. But again, if you we don't have it here because we do have Todd Olbo, who does a great job himself. But if you have a chance, you can go to our website, bullfallsradio.com. Click on shows. You can listen to in podcast form with all the commercials taken away each hour of the Earl Ingram Show, or else you can just tune in on the Civic Media app as well. We're going to take a quick time out, come back with more. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Good.
Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. If you haven't got the Civic Media app, there was a great reason to get it. It's Earl Ingram. Just go to your app store, download it. You'll be able to listen to Earl live in the mornings or listen to him on the podcast as well. Just outstanding to get that different perspective. And again, to show that I think the issues and what we're all trying to get out of our life, what we expect from our public servants, what we can receive in terms of the opportunities by good policies are the same in central Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin, urban Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, southeast Wisconsin. And Earl Ingram, I mean, I had not met Earl before last month when we had a civic media retreat training session and went down to Madison and was able to meet all the great folks that are on the air around the state on civic media and got to sit right next to Earl. We started talking and he gave me his card and said, give me a call. Love to be able to talk to you. And I kept that card and I was waiting for just the right moment. And this week was the right moment to talk to Earl Ingram. And again, make sure you take a listen. Just go to the show page of bullfallsradio.com. Click on Earl Ingram's logo. You can listen to previous hours of his program in podcast form. And just again, thanks to him. We'll make sure to get Earl back on sometime very, very soon. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about a guy that we kind of touched on there, Ron Johnson, because, I mean, some folks, obviously, I mean, more than 50% of the voters in November said, hey, we want Ron to continue to be the person that is representing us in the United States Senate. He made his way to Milwaukee. He doesn't have many great things to say about Milwaukee normally, but he was in Milwaukee this week speaking to the Milwaukee Press Club. He's back in Washington and causing trouble again. I just saw a tweet from our friends at Dueling Tangents. Dueling Tangents are on right now in some of the stations around the state of Wisconsin. And Ron is again talking about global warming and basically, you know, we should just ignore it. There's nothing we can do. We'll be dead anyways, I guess. So we're going to hear some again. Just to let you know again who this guy is, because I think he is a danger to the state. I think he's a danger to this country, and I think we need to listen to the man's words. Not just me talking about Ron, but what Ron was saying, answering questions by the Milwaukee Press Club during the course of this week. Also, we're going to talk a little bit of high school sports to let you know who's doing well in high school sports. Again, I'd like to honor those folks who are really doing a great job for our area high schools. We'll talk about that coming up as well in the next hour. After CBS News and a civic media news update, we will be talking to Ray Miller, our meteorologist from weatherology.com. Ray Miller will let us know about some wet weather that will be moving into the area starting tomorrow and going through the weekend. That will be coming up at 3:06. I'm Chad Holmes. That will wrap up hour number one, but stick around. One more hour to go. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar.
In Western town, a dead end world. The Eastern boys and Western girls.